Today's Perek in Tana is Imalachan Beit Perek Chet. Who has the Bisurat Agula come through? Gehazi. The very guy that was the one that was not going to tell over and say anything great about Elisha. He was the one that laughed at Elisha. The very Shalish. He's the guy that's going to be in charge of the great booty from Machane Aram. And in it, expose what happens to those who doubt the Navi. So the whole story becomes a story within a story, which continues on directly into the very next parak, in which, amazingly, the two doubters, Yehoram and Gehazi, come together for a conference about how great Elisha is. Now, Elisha diber la isha asher afiyad bina. 7 years ago, Elisha had spoken to the woman when he made her child revive. So he warned her. He said, look, let me tell you something. Kumi ulechi at uveitech leguri b'asher taguri. Get out of here. Because kikarad neilu ra'av v'gamba el ha'aretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's called for the Rav, and it's already begun. Now, this is a Rav. We're going to see the horrific details in Yoel, which, of course, is, you know, I mean, the chronology has nothing to do with how the books are arranged, necessarily. Then it's already begun. 7 years, you're just going to be wiped out here. Leave. Vatokom ha'isha, vatas kidvar isha Elohim. She followed his advice, despite the fact she didn't see any signs of hunger. Vatelechi ve'ta. Vatagar beretz plishtim sheva shanim. She goes and she lives in Eretz Plishtim, which is exactly, of course, what the Avais do. So she goes and learns what David had done. 7 years. Vahim miktzei sheva shanim. And so it's at the end of the 7 years that she's coming back now. Vatosha veisham Eretz Plishtim. She comes back to find that everything that she owns has been taken over. And she left everything just the way it was for 7 years. Obviously, people have moved into her house. And now the Arabs are claiming we've lived there for the past 500 years. What are you talking about? This has always been our house. Who is this Jew? So she comes back, and now she finds she doesn't own anything. Her property's been taken away. House's been taken away. So she goes to ask Yoram to get involved. So she's coming to cry about her house and her field. Now just at that very moment, this is the craziest story. So there is Yehoram having a little coffee break with Gehazi, of all crazy people, who is the Nar of the Israel Elohim. And he's telling Gehazi, you know, I'd love to hear some of those miracles that your miracle worker guy did. So, Saprana liet kol ha'gidolot asher asa Elisha, tell me over these things that Elisha did. this scene is mad, right? These are the two people that attempted to denigrate anything that Elisha has done. After the crazy scene.
Is it Sora
now? I mean, this is... Yeah, the Sora, this is after that time. Again, the chronology is not clear. He was just about to say over the story and get to all the details. That, you know, well, you know, that he did Tchiyat HaMeitim. And who comes into the room? So Eket al Amelech al Beitav al Sada Vayom Gehazi Adoni Amelech. An amazing coincidence. The Lord is with us. Zot Aisha v'Zebina Asherachya Elisha. Now it's from here that we learn out that the no goodnik called his Rebbe by his name. Asherachya. Instead of saying Asherachya Avi Adoni, whatever, it's Elisha. You know, JB. So now. I just find it very, you know, this becomes the simen in the Torah of the guy who has no derech eretz and therefore is thrown out as mitzorah, which I see as being very much part of whole categories of people who supposedly learn Torah and so on, but they have this level of derech eretz. So they'll call the Rav JB, you know, they'll call the Rosh Hashiva, whatever, they'll call the Rebbe by his name. Vayishal ha-melech li'isha, so he asks her, v'tisaperlo, and she tells her over. The king is so excited. Vayitein la ha-melech sarisa. He appoints a certain Saris to be her particular agent to make sure that they use the army to get out these people. Hashavet kol ha-shela, give her back everything that she owns. And not only that, everything that was stolen from her from the day she left the country. These people have been working her field. Figure out what they owe her and take it out of their hide. So it kol tvot ha-sedeh miyom ha-zvat ha-aretz v'harata, everything that she lost until today. give it back to her, which is amazing because, of course, that's exactly the words Elisha said to her the first time he called her in. Do you need me to speak to the Melech or to the Tzar HaTzavah? No, no, why would I need that? Mm-hmm. And so here, you don't even need Elisha to speak to the Melech. The very fact that he said, okay, so now the time came. The Melech hears the words of Elisha, so to speak, without him being told, sends the army to take care of the house. Exactly what it was that Elisha had mentioned. You never know. You'll notice the story of this woman is a story of Geula. It's a remarkable story. Because here's Yehoram the no-goodnik, Gehazi the no-goodnik. We're now being Mekayim the Divrei Hanavi, who says, I'll speak to the king. And what happens? Everything that she lost, that the Arabs took away and claimed was there, not only was returned to her, but everything that would have been hers during that entire period. Which is a beautiful simon for what is coming back to Eretz Yisrael. And as a true geula, when they attempt to steal it from you, that the end result is not only you get it back, or whatever tova that would have been yours, that's the samchenu kimoti nitanu, shenod ra'inu ra'ah, that all those days that we saw ra'ah should be given back to us, like it was over here, exactly as the Isha Shunamit, who was forced to go to Eretz Plishtim, but who lost nothing in the process. Ken yihiratzayin b'meira v'yamin. So here we have, again, the way the Prakim are split up by the Goyim is so mad. This is absolutely, I mean, the only way to split the Perek is to end the story of the Ra'av and Shomron with this story, which relates to the end of the Ra'av, putting together Yoram and Gehazi, which are the Arba Mitzoraim. And of course, the Vayomer Elisha Shimu Dvar Hashem is part of the story of that introduction to the Arba Mitzoraim. So basically, the sixth, so if you're going to split it up with chapters, nonsensically, but if you do that, you should have ended the sixth chapter, the third pasuk of the seventh chapter, and the seventh chapter should have ended with the beginning of the story of Elisha's return to Damascus, which is to be the next pasuk. However, according to Chazal, the going of Elisha to Damascus is related directly to the previous story. Because the Gemara says, what the heck was Elisha doing in Damascus? Because what had happened is that after Gehazi was cursed the way that he cursed him, he left the country and he went to Damascus. Gehazi himself. No, because after all, Naaman, exactly. He's exchanged with Naaman. So he goes to Damascus, and Elisha realized that it was his fault for having exaggerated the, as we saw before, the impact of what Gehazi had done, and in Mendoche and Bishtei Yadayim, that he needed to go and to try to be Marzi Gehazi B'tshuva. So he went to Damascus to speak to Gehazi. So all of these things are very deeply interrelated. While he's in Damascus, he changes the Malchus of Aram. It's a whole amazing story that goes directly from Eliyahu's Mishicha, so to speak, which is the word that the Pasuk uses, of Eliyahu, of Elisha as his Talmud, to the story of Gehazi, the Maisa with the Shunamit, and so on and so forth, ends with the Kiyam of the Nevuah that was given to Eliyahu at that moment at Har Sinai, which was the empowerment of Elisha to be the one that would make Hazael the Melech Al Aram, which in the end would destroy the Malchus Yisrael. So all of this is really goes all the way back to the standing on that mountain where he was told to retire. But again, people without vision like to slit it up. The Meisach Chazal say that the reason that the woman showed up at that point, the way the Medrash puts it, was she was standing behind the door, ready to walk in the moment that he would start saying this. How did she happen to walk in at that point? Because lo nechale lekutshu brichu, that Rishayim should be misaper b'nifloisa. That's the other element of it. So in the same way, if you look back, the Mitzoraim's Besura was not accepted. It didn't get, the Melech completely ignored it, as we pointed out. So too, his story was not here. He's about to tell over this great story, and she walks in and tells him a story. So it was in a sense, the stories were coming through the great doubters. On the one hand, Yoram, Gehazi, and on the other hand, Bedavka didn't work that the Besura should come in that fashion. And so, returning now to the story of Elisha. Now, remember that Elisha, as the Gemara points out, should not have been Deicha, B'shtei Yadayim, Gehazi. And as we mentioned, he needed to go to be Marzer and Betshuva. And we're going to Medayek it from the words Vayavo Elisha Damesek. And when you say he came to Damesek, it's mashma that the story that follows is almost agav. In other words, since he was in Damesek for some other purpose, such and such happened. Well, what other purpose could there have been? So Echazal put it, but Loma Halach le Damesek. It brings as if it's a pasuk, vayetze, vayelech Elisha Damesek. It's a pasuk. But that's the pasuk that it should have said. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan shalach lavzira legechazi b'tshuva, and lo chazar. Now because of that, remember that there has been a very repugnant shlichus that has been left hanging over the head of Elisha, that he is supposed to take care of, which was entrusted to him by Eliyahu HaNavi. And obviously he wanted to put that off as long as possible. He wasn't given a time to do it. Because since Eliyahu Bedavka gave it over to a shliach and didn't do it himself, it's mashma that because it was a terrible shlichut for Klal Yisrael, which was Lechu Mashachta at Chazael Melech Al Aram, and he understood that Chazael would be a disaster and would destroy Eretz Yisrael, which is what happened. So because of that, he never wanted to be Mekayim the shlichut until he saw he had no choice. He came, therefore, to Damesek for another reason, and that was the Gehazi, and that's how all of these things become interrelated. Question is whether there's any relationship between Gehazi's presence and the fact that he ends up being Moshiach at Chazael. What's remarkable is that there may well be, unfortunately. Because as Chazal say, Gehazi was not Shav. Instead, why was he not Shav? Because he said, Kach li maratani, that someone who is Chotei Machtiat Rabin, so in my speaking, beyond the last is true. So there's a question. So what is the Machtiat Rabin the Gemara discusses in Seita? So one, we had the simple pshat, as it had said before, that Hamakom Tzar, Mashmir, up until that time, so he was Deich the Talmidim, if he was Deich the Talmidim, that means that he made Mikshol for the Rabin to learn Torah. But others say it's much worse than that. That he took a magnet and he suspended the Egel Hazar that were made by Yerovam. He suspended them above a magnetized point between two magnets as if they were magically in the air. This is very impressive to people. So he actually was machshav them to believe in the Egel, or he took a Shem Hashem and he buried it in the mouth of the Egel Azov so that the Egel would speak. I mentioned this earlier. The Egel would speak. It would say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. That's, of course, the before we said Asher He'alucha. We said, if it wouldn't have been for that He'alucha, for that Vav, so that would have been the end of Erech Klal Yisrael. He took away the Vav. He had the Egel saying that I am the real thing. That was terrible. So it could be that his presence there in Damesek is what actually gave Kayaf to Chazael to destroy Yisrael. It's because he was mischaber to him, apparently, in Damesek. It's a very strange situation to have both Gehazi and then the shlichas of Chazael coming from the same Yitzia. And that's why he needed to be there, and that's why the whole thing happened. But it can't be stam coincidental. And so by Avo Elisha Damesek, and Ben-Hadad, Melech Aram, was chole. At that time, the king was sick. Vayugad lo lemor, and he hears, and this is the king, of course, that is very well aware of the keach of Elisha Novi because of Naaman. He was the one that had sent Naaman and had insisted that Yoram see to it that Naaman is cured. And you heard the whole story about Elisha. Ba Isha Elohim ad heina. The man, not Stam, a man. The man of God that you know about through Naaman, has come all the way here to Damesek. So as opposed now to the Melech Yisrael, who sends a message to, you know, the Lord of the Flies to find out whether he's going to live or die, he is tremendously excited. So now there's a real Navi in town, and he wants to see whether he's going to get better or not. Vayomra Melech al Chazael, kach biyatcha mincha, take a gift, v'lech likrat isha Elohim, go to the man of God, v'darash et Adonai me'oto, not no avodah zarah, ask him b'shem Hashem, so Chazael goes out to greet. Chazael is his main head of the White House. Right. And his right-hand man. He goes out to, he's not a member of the family, he goes out to greet him. Taking mincha b'yado, v'chol tuv damesek. and taking out the greatest of what all of Damascus had. Masar ba'im gamal, 40 camels worth. This is a pretty big gift, but Chazal say even more. It says Kotuv of Damascus, tell me Kotuv of Damascus is only 40 camels. I mean, Damascus is a pretty big place. Ella, what it means is that he brought him in value. It was an event, teva. He brought him the whole diamond, besides the 40 mas. So he had that which could have bought Kotuv of Damascus in his hand. That's why it says biado. He comes and he stands in front of the Navi. Look at the difference. When Naaman came, he expected Navi to come out, greet him, and so on. And he comes, stands in front of him. Your son. He mamish is machnia himself totally to the Navi. As opposed to when he writes the Melech, he gives him orders. He talks to the Navi. And he's asking mamish the same kniya gemura that Naaman himself had. An unfortunate contrast between the malchus of Aram and the malchus of Yisrael and how they treat a navi. So he asked me, ha'echye micholi zeh. Ve'omer alav Elisha. This is an amazing posik in terms of its implications for medical ethics.
Who's sick?
Ben Hadad is sick.
The king himself?
Yeah.
With
Shiraz?
Or
no, he's sick. He's ill. Ve'omer alav Elisha. Lech emorlo, tell him, chayotich, yeah, you will live. But he's not going to live. Virani Adonai kibot yamut. Fact is, he's going to die. So you see from here, some of the Rishonim say that if it's hopeless and terminal, you don't tell the patient he's going to die. Because even the Navi is telling him that you're going to live. Tell him you're going to live. But I'm telling you he's going to die. And Malbum learns that the point is, he's going to live from the illness, but he's going to die. Wink, wink. Meaning I heard somebody you may know might kill him. And indeed, that's what happens in the end. That Chazal takes advantage of this Nevi'ah to kill the king. And then he's sitting there in front of this. It's the most amazing scene. He's sitting there in front of Chazal, and his face is turned away. And he can't speak because he's about to burst into tears. And he doesn't want Chazal. This is the hardest thing he ever had to do. All of the shlichiyus he was able to take care of. And they learned from Eliel, this is a very strong man you're talking about. And he's standing there and he can't control himself. He bursts into tears. What happened? Because this is the hardest thing I ever had to do. I know what you are going to do to Bnei Yisrael. Mifzrayim teshalach ba'esh, you're going to burn down their fortified cities. Vachareim b'cheref ta'arog, you will kill their youngsters. Olaleim tiratesh, you'll take their nursing children, smash them against walls. Vahoroteim tevakeah, and their pregnant women, you'll slice open. What do you think I am, a dog, that I would do something like that? I had a vision which God showed me you to be king in Aram. Maybe you're not a dog today, but you will be. That's amazing, the interactions here with the people and the way they think about themselves. Just astounding, the humanity of it. And so he goes, believes Elisha, Vayavol Adonav, he comes to Ben-Hadad, Vayomelo, Numa Amalach Elisha, Vayomelo Amalich Chayotichyeh. He said to me that you will live. Vayimim Bochorat, the next day, Chazael Vayikach HaMachber, he takes his thick cushion, Vayitbo B'mayim, he dips it in water, Vayifros Alpanav Vayamot, and he puts it on his head, over his face, and he dies. So some say he strangled him, others say that he told him, I'm just coming to cool you off, because you have a fever, and it's not dangerous to cool you off, because he said you're going to live, so you don't have anything to worry about. And he died from the chill. But whatever it was, he got rid of him. And so Chazael became king. And this was now the kiyum of that part of the shlichut of Eliyahu. And now, the same turn of events, of course, is the next shlichut that he was left with. The next shlichut that he was left with was the destruction of the Bayit of Ahab. And so, next in turn was that he was meant to go and to be Moshe Yehu. That he himself doesn't do, but he gives over to a Ben of Nevi'im, as we'll see. However, in order to get us now back into the historical perspective and watch what happens to the cousins, remember that from this point on, Malchei Yisrael and Malchei Yehuda are cousins because they've intermarried. This was exactly the pagam of Yehoshaphat that he was trying to intermarry and trying to bring together the Malchus his whole life, to the point, and this becomes the Makar of the Seder Olam, this next Sukkah, the Makar of the Seder Olam, that Yehoshaphat was actually king over Yisrael, which is Mashmah Divrei Hayomim. It says that. The things that were going on in Yisrael were done up by Yehoshaphat. And we already saw the extent of the Shutafut between them. So it talks as if he too is Yehoshaphat, becomes now Melech together with Yoram. And so the historical years are so confused over here because of the many issues. And we spoke about the Machlokas. We've shown him how to learn these issues. Is the issue, which is the Pashtus of how to learn, is that Yehoshaphat, for all intents and purposes, was dead at the time of the Milchama with Moab, because he should have been killed, but wasn't killed. And because of that, Vayaz ache, and he was saved. So at that point, he was as if he started life again. Or as others learn, his Shutafut with Yehoram meant that he was already king with Yoram, not king over Yehud anymore. And, or as others learn, he had made his son, again, the cousins are very confusing because they all have the same names, he had made his son Yoram king over Yehuda while he was still Melech for 5 years and 2 partial years, which turns out to be 7 years. The way that we're counting it is, it's a very complicated count. If you go through the Seder Olam, bringing Rayas from all of the Pesukim and putting them together, especially together with the Pesukim and Divrei Hayomim, so that now we're given very briefly and in a very confusing way, we're given that history so we can understand where we're coming from and what was happening in Yehuda because of the Chibur to Yisrael, and why Yehuda, although it was Mischaber to Yisrael, was not destroyed, and yet the Shlichut of Elio was to destroy Yisrael. So, Bishnat Chamesh, the Yoram ben Achav, Melech Yisrael, V'Yoshaphat Melech Yehuda. What's that supposed to mean? Could have been Shnat Chamesh, the Yehoshaphat Melech Yehuda, because Yehoshaphat was Melech for 25 years. So that's just saying, in the 5th year of the joint Malchus of Yoram ben Achav and Yehoshaphat Melech Yehuda. Or, in the Chamesh, Yoram ben Achav, then Melech Yehoshaphat Melech Yehuda was Molech Yoram ben Yehoshaphat to be Melech Yehuda, which is another way of reading the passing. Shalo Kederach Hayat Nachta, that is given by the Mesorah, but that's the way some of the Mephoshim suggest. So according to the Medrash, that he made Yoram king B'chayav after the story where he realized that he was no longer, he was afraid of what would happen. So he made him king. In any event, all of those issues being merumas there, Ben Shalshim V'shtayim Shana Hayab B'molcho. So Yoram was 32 years old when he became the Melech. Ushmona Shanim Malach B'Yerushalayim. And the disaster here was that because of the Chibur that Yehoshaphat had made with Malchi Yehuda and Yisrael and had intermarried with them, his son Yoram was Vayelech B'derech Malchi Yisrael Kasher Asu Beit Achav, because he had married into Achav's family. Kibat Achav Aitalo Leisha. Remember that the whole story of Omri in the first place was that Yehoshaphat was willing to marry into Omri, and because of that everybody said, oh, must be Omri is the real Melech. And that was the deciding vote in honor of the Shalshalet of Omri, of which Achav, of course, is the great expression. So he took Bat Achav. Later on we're going to see that Atalia is called Bat Omri. But again, I mean, it could be, I mean, there's Midrash, but she's Bat Omri. Maybe he raised her, or she was very close with him. Or the Pashtus is, because it goes all the way back to that original Chibur. So we view that as coming all the way from Omri, not literally from Achav. In any event, it means maybe a daughter to the Shalshalot of Omri, so she's from the house of Omri. But literally, she was the daughter of Achav, who married now, what a mechutin. Right? I mean, this is unbelievable. These are the two Bechutanim here, again and again, so over the generations. Yes?
During the writings, they talk about
Beit Omri. Yes, of course. Adonai, and he too did evil. But nonetheless, they still had the Shuyais, that was the gift, the promise to David. Kasher Amarlo, as Hashem had told David, as long as it was possible to have a Malchus, that he would protect the Malchus of Beis David. However, things were not good. Remember, the great achievement had been to control Edom and to make the Nitzav Melech. We already saw in the last war when Yehoshaphat went together with Melech Edom, that theoretically shouldn't have existed, because it says, Bayamim Ha'im Ein Melech Le'edom, Nitziv Melech. And all of a sudden there we found for the first time Melech Edom being mentioned. There was Mashma, there was already aspects of Merida that was going on. And indeed, because of the breakdown of Vayas HaRab Hashem, Bi'amav Pasha Edom, Mitachat Yad Yehuda.
was during the reign of Yoram that Edom now had indeed rebelled and had taken back their independence. Vayamlichu aleihem melech. So vayavar Yoram tsaira. So Yoram went to Tsair near the border of Edom. V'chol arechev imo. Vayihu kam laila vayaket Edom asoveve lav. Ve'itzare arechev vayanos ha'am la'ohalav. Now, this is a very ambiguous pasuk because it doesn't give us any antecedents to the pronouns. We don't know who does what. And indeed, there's a machlokas among the mefarshim whether this is referring to the Melech Edom, who now attacked the forces of Yoram that were attempting to do a sneak attack at night, scattering Yisrael Olav, or whether it was Yoram that had successfully attacked Edom, but only Edom Atzavyev Elav, and not Edom, and that they lost heart in the middle and ended up scattering? Or does it mean that the Edomites scattered, but only the ones that were Saviv? Which is strange, because the next pasuk is that indeed they successfully rebelled. So the mashmaut, I think, consensus-wise, is that, first of all, he didn't have the guts to be calm in the daytime. So all he could do was attack the ones who are surrounding him, where he felt encircled, and then escape, rather than successfully carry out an attack, which leads directly into the next pasuk, Vayivsha Edom mitachat yad Yehuda ad hayom hazeh, that because of that, Edom successfully rebelled and maintained their independence till this very day. And not only that, but az tifsha livna ba'etahu. And now who ba'etahi? Who is Livna is not clear. Rashi suggests that Livna was close, it was from Malchus Yehuda, but was close to the area of Edom. And when they lost faith in Yoram's ability to protect them, they actually were poshea against Malchut Beit David and went ahead to join up, made a brit with Edom, and were poshea also mitachat yidei Yoram Melech Yehuda. And so, again, I mean, what the Bereshit Rabbah says over here, the Melech Edom was because Yehoshaphat at that point was Nidaim at the time of that war when they were attacking together with Melech Edom. He had already been Nidaim Lemisa, and it was a nace that he was saved. And because of that, already there was a getter of Malchus to Edom, except that it wasn't expressed yet. So, Mioto Yom Ve'elech, says the Medrash, even though Afa Pishachoy Yehoshaphat Kamashanim Lomona Lo Akotzer Malchusa Elo LeYoram Beno, and therefore we find that it says in that word already, it says Vayishkav Yehoshaphat Im Avotav, even though that said on much later because it was Nechshav Kemet, was if he had died then Umeotam Nilchama VeElech Amad Melech BeEdom Avlo Aita Malchutot Keifa. So already the kilkel was, as the Medrash had said there, the chibur that Yehoshaphat had made in that attack, and in that very chibur needed to be mischashev with a so-called Melech Be'adom. So in other words, he was already compromising his principles, and the compromise now stuck pay dirt in destroying the malchus of his child, so that even Livna was also Be'etahi, and that would explain why it says Be'etahi. Because at the same time, the deterioration of the malchut of Yoram Melech Yehuda actually caused him to fall apart at the time of the Edoms taking over their own independence. And that's about all you need to know. V'yetu divrei Yoram v'chol asher asah. Elohim ketuvim al sefer divrei hayamim l'malchi Yehuda. V'yishkav Yoram im avotav, v'yikaver im avotav b'ir David. He was buried b'im avotav b'ir David, where some are medayik. And this stresses in divrei hayamim as well, that he was not, sometimes it says b'kivrei hamilachim, Be'ir David. And here it just says, Imavotav Be'ir David. Vayimloch Achazyahu benot Achtav. And so Achazyahu ben Yehoram became Melech over Yehud. Bishnat 12 shana Yehoram ben Achav Melech Yisrael. Malach Achazyahu ben Yehoram Melech Yehuda. And so while Yoram ben Achav was still king in his 12th year, Achazyahu, the son of the other Yoram, cousins, was the king in Yehuda. Ben 22 shana Achazyahu ben Malcho was 22 years old and was a melech for only 1 year. V'shana achat malach b'Yerushalayim v'shem imo, and his horrific mother's name was Ataliyahu, who was Bat Omri, Melech Yisrael. Again, before we said she was Bat Achav, and because Bat Achav Aitalo Liisha, we said, and his son that was born of that Isha was Achazyahu. But again, as we explained, Ben Omri could mean Bat Omri in terms of the Beit Omri.
And so because he had a mother like that, he too walked in the same path that the house of Achav had walked. And he too walked in the paths of Beit Achav. And he too, ki chatan Beit Achav hu. So they were all intermarried. Vayelech et Yoram ben Achav lamilchama im Chazael melech Aram baramot Gilad. And so Achaziyahu also went together in this shutafut with his cousin Yoram, who was the son of Achav. They went to war together at Chazael, the king of Aram baramot Gilad. Vayaku Aramim et Yoram, and so Yoram was hit in that war. So the Aramim actually managed to wound Yoram. Vayoshev Yoram HaMelech Litrapei B'Yisraelim in Amakim, Asher Yaku Aramim Brama, V'Yilachamot Chazael Melech Aram, V'Chazyahu Ben Yoram Melech Yehuda, Yorad Lirot Et Yoram Ben Achav B'Yisrael Kicholehu. Now this sets up now the events to follow in which the Malchut is temporarily disabled. The kingdoms both kings are together. Achaziah from Yehuda has come now to visit Yoram, who is wounded and is not in his capital. And he's out at a Kupat Cholim Beit Avra'ah over there in Emek Israel. And meanwhile is not aware of what's going on back home, which is the perfect moment for the final piece to fall into the puzzle to destroy the house of Achav and Ataliah and everyone else who comes from there.